Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis. Last week we went 3-1 on our best bets. Another really good week. We hit our mixed matchup at 255 as well. I will say straight away, if you can see any stains on my jumper, I'm not a complete grub. Maybe I am, but I was wearing this during dinner time with my toddler, so I give him the blame for that. Let's jump straight into our best bets, meanwhile, because we've got a couple for you this week. Warriors, +2.5 in the first half at $1.82 on Sportsbet. They host the Bulldogs. Tell them why, Padonis.
Yeah, look, I respect how the Dogs have improved over the past few months, but I just can't make them favoured by over a try here in this spot. And we know how good the Warriors' home field is, especially not having played there for so long. It's going to be strong once again here. And they are moving Wade Egan back into dummy half, which I think gives them their best balance. The Dogs also have to contend with a five-day turnaround and another travel trip to New Zealand, which they wouldn't have had to experience for at least 2.5 years. So that's going to be new for them. And the one thing that always gets questioned with the Warriors is their effort, but I'll guarantee that they'll be right up for this contest. And that makes them a live underdog. So we have to grab them with the points, and the first half's the best way to play it.
And that's why I like it too, because I could make the argument that this is the highest home advantage weighting in NRL history. Because when we're going to talk about power ratings tonight, when you power rate a side, what you're really rating is how good they are away from home. And then what you add to that is when they play at home, you add an extra amount of points for playing at home. Well, this Warriors side away from home might be the worst team in the NRL, but at home they are far more competitive, and we definitely think they will compete with the Bulldogs, who are taking +2.5 first half. And as I said, the other game Friday night, it's Eels Bunnies, and we're taking Parramatta +$6.85 on the alt line on Top Sport. But honest.
Yeah, so these are two teams, as everyone knows, who we bet on last week, and they both delivered for us. But I just feel that this line is still slightly disrespectful towards the Eels, and the bookies are maybe favouring South just a bit too much. So Parra's key spine plays did step up in the absence of Moses last week, and I think they could do the same thing again, and they're going to have to do as well. They get an extended prep. They do have the better forward back, in my opinion, and they'll be looking for some revenge after getting beat by 18 points to South only just over a month ago. I think this is a game that can go either way, and I do like the Eels to stay within the converted try and hopefully get over the line with that home field.
And depending on what happens the night before with the Storm, a top four spot may be up for grabs for Parramatta. And yeah, we like them for a lot of the same reasons that we liked them last week. Outside of missing Moses, they're pretty complete and they're dialed in right now. And their opponent is as well, in fairness. As you said, we backed both these sides. But I do think that revenge is real. South punished Parramatta a few weeks ago. Parramatta knows what they need to do to turn that around and flip home advantage. They get to play at Combank for this one. It's a close game for me. So +6, I've got to take them. We'll discuss all the games, some we actually disagreed on as well. But when we're going to do a special segment tonight where we're going to talk about who the best team in the NRL is right now. But first, let's hear how the markets are shaping up thanks to Top Sport.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've got a weekend full of finals implications where the game on Thursday night, the Panthers host the Storm, where if the Panthers win, they guarantee themselves the minor premiership, which I think they've probably already got anyway. But they'll be looking to win this game to maintain that, you know, stranglehold over the Storm they've had in big games recently, where they go into the game 4.5-point favourites. Obviously, there's a stack of players out for both sides, which is disappointing when you've got such a high-profile game, but the importance of the occasion is still going to be great. One of the big moves of the weekend already has been South City. That's gone from 4 out to 4.5 against the Eels. They're $1.53 favourite. And then also the Roosters in another game of big importance against the Cowboys has gone from 2.5 out to 3.5. Some of the games that are, you know, involving a good side against one of the weakened or teams out have also seen some moves where the Sharks have got 11.5 out to 13.5, the Bronx 16.5 out to 18.5. Jacob actually asked a question, which is a very relevant question at this point of the year. If we have power rankings on a week-to-week basis, and we don't necessarily have power rankings on a week-to-week basis, we sort of have our power rankings for the back end of the year based on when we think players are going to be back and outside injuries and come back from suspension. So obviously Penrith is the highest ranked team in that, and they've been comfortably so. But if you were to look purely at this weekend, which is how you have to set your prices, you sort of look at your power rankings, then you make adjustments for players that are in and out of what your expected, you know, best 17 is for the back end of the regular season. And if we were looking at the teams this weekend, who I would have on top of my power rankings or our team's power rankings for this weekend, you'd probably have Cronulla and South Sydney as the equal leading power rankings. And we saw they played each other only a fortnight or so ago, and the Bunnies were back from underdogs into close to favourites, and Cronulla got the result in Golden Point. So I'd probably suggest Cronulla's still slightly on top of South Sydney, but pending this week's results, it might even flip. So I'd say Cronulla are probably sitting on top of this week's power rankings, then South Sydney, and maybe the Roosters or the Panthers sitting that next rung down, maybe slightly the Roosters and then Penrith next. So it's an interesting one, fascinating question, but that's sort of how we have them grouped at the moment. Good luck over the weekend, guys.
Thanks, Tristan. You'll hear our response. You heard his response to my question. You'll hear our thoughts on that. We're going to tackle that in a segment about halfway through this show. Before we jump into round 22, why don't we get the tips for the whole round as well from a legend of the game. It's the Axe.
G'day, everyone. Round 22 tips. First up, Panthers versus the Storm. This will be a cracker of a game. The Panthers have shown that they can win without Cleary and Luai. So that's good enough for me. So I'm going the Panthers. Warriors versus the Dogs. They seem to put the Q in the rack, the Kiwis. So I'm going to go the Dogs. Eels versus the Rabbitohs, five. Fifth versus sixth. Won't be much in this game. This will be a cracker of a game as well. So I'm going to go the Eels. Roosters versus the Cowboys. How good is this going to be? This could be a very physical game, this one. I'm loving the Cowboys' resilience in defence at the moment. They're doing really well. So I'm going to go the Cowboys. Tigers versus Sharks. Should have too much class, Cronulla, over the Tigers. Broncos versus the Knights. If the Broncos want to go on in these finals, they need to beat the Knights. Otherwise, they're dead and buried. So I'm going to go the Broncos. Raiders versus the Dragons. Hopefully, the Ricky Stewart drama there hasn't just put them in a bit of a disarray. I don't think it will. I think I'm going to go the Raiders over the Dragons. Titans versus the Seagulls. This is a bit of a toss-up, this one. I'm going to go Manly in this one. So good luck with your tips, and how hard are they? Good luck.
He's not wrong, brother. We've done a bit better recently, thankfully. And thank you, Trevor, and thank you, Dabble. Use Dabble with the code TRIPOD if you want to see what all the fuss is about. They've got a bunch of great features that you guys have heard us discuss and more coming out ahead of finals footy and spring racing, if that interests you at all. But what interests us is round 22, Thursday night, Panthers hosting the Storm. Storm 4.5-point underdogs. Maybe these are the best two teams in the comp come September. But for right now, we know Penrith are missing their starting halves as well as Fisher-Harris due to suspension. Kikau was withdrawn last week with a hip injury. He's in the reserves this week. Kalfusi, sadly, will not play this week after losing his father. Our thoughts go out to him and his family. The Storm also will be without Jerome Hughes, who picked up a shoulder injury in the game against the Titans in round 21. Meany and Olam are back, as well as Coates, who returned from injury last week, and Nofaluma, who joined the side. So the outside backs aren't depleted anymore. That relieves Munster of fullback duties. He joins Cooper Johns in the halves, different Cooper for the Melbourne Storm. And for Donis, this is a great game to kick off the round. We've got a great rivalry. It wasn't that close when they met in Magic Round, but do you think it will be this time?
It wasn't that close in Magic Round, but it was close about 15 months ago, round two last year, when I was at that game watching the grand final rematch from 2020. And that was a great spectacle, and can it be something similar? I would have loved to have seen these teams at full strength, but sadly, again, there's a few injuries on both parts. We know the Storm have won two in a row against some bottom four teams, but I'd say that they were far from impressive and they were just happy to get the win in those two occasions. And they have had to deal with a ton of injuries. And the latest now is Jerome Hughes. So that new halves pairing in Johns and Munster, because I think the Munster's best position is still 5'8", even though Bellamy said during the week that he does like playing fullback. But their defense to me is still a bit concerning, especially on the edges. But what has been surprising is how their forward pack has seemed to have just disappeared and aged overnight. Some of those key guys that they've relied on so heavily over the past few years, over this long-standing dynasty that they've had, they don't look the same players that they used to, and their bench depth is still a bit weak to me in their rotation. And even with Fisher-Harris suspended, the Panthers are one of those teams that are you'd call them a premier pack in the competition. And I do think Kikau is going to play from what I've been reading about. So I know that he's listed on the reserves, but if he does play, Kafusi's not there to defend him. I can see a lot of traffic coming down that edge with Cooper Johns defending him, and they might try to isolate him on a few occasions. It's going to be a tough night for that right-hand edge. If you're looking for some for some positive signs for the Storm, that you could say that with Coates back and those guys returning in their back line, it does seem to resemble a back line that we're more accustomed to with the Storm getting back to full strength. That might help out their defense. Not too sure. But I definitely feel that Penrith are the stronger team, even without their two stars in Luai and Cleary. And it's pretty rare that you can have a team missing their two starting halves and you can still call them elite. But I definitely still see them as a top four team without those guys in there. They are at home, so they get a chance to officially win the minor premiership. And I think it could be a bit of a chance for them to really go all in and get that win. And then they've got the next 3 weeks to refresh themselves and recover for the finals. I'll make this game above six, so I would lean Penrith at 4.5. I know there's some doubt around Dylan Edwards, but there's been some reports that he hasn't trained all week and he's been in a sling. But if you recall, he did the same thing last year, all final series. He sat out all week with a moon boot and he did manage to play all those games. So he's just one of those tough old school characters. He's going to be there for sure. And I just think Penrith have shown a different ability to be able to cover Cleary than they have in past years. And let's not forget that win they did have last year in Melbourne. Sorry, that win they had against Melbourne last year was without Cleary as well. So I think that they can win and I would lay the -4.5.
Well, on that point about Edwards, no denying how tough he is and he's been awesome this year and he was criminally underrated like 18 months ago, but now people know how good he is. There's a big difference though, what you're talking about him, you know, toughing it out through the finals and having a broken foot. He had to, but he doesn't have to now and he does cop a lot of punishment. So I think there's a difference because he's like a crash test dummy in that game last weekend. It's unbelievable. And he, like, to his credit, he keeps taking more. Now, on the other point, that game, I remember it very well, in Penrith, round two, because I had a best bet on the Panthers and only won that thanks to surviving the final play of the game, where Kikau, the man who Penrith will want to be available, was able to miraculously get across and hold up Justin Olam on the final play. And that was the difference between winning or losing for both sides, as well as for my best bet. And so that is all, you know, all leads into the rivalry. Of course, the Panthers ended the Storm season last year. The Storm did that to the Panthers at the highest stage in 2020. But I think this is a good spot for Melbourne, and that's why I disagree with you. Coming off a couple of softer games, it doesn't impress me, but it just gets them back on track, their top four destiny in their own hands, well and truly. And it's a great opportunity. Everyone who plays Penrith is getting a great opportunity right now because they're not desperate and they're not full strength. And as good as Penrith looked last week, missing three stars, you know, I just don't know if they're going to be up for it every single week. You would think at home they probably will. And obviously another game under the belts of O'Sullivan and Salmon, that can go either way. It gives them more confidence, although I know Salmon had his confidence knocked about in the press conference. But on the other hand, there's more game film too. Like there's a blueprint there for Bellamy to look at how Melbourne can possibly stop or restrict the Panthers. That's why I lean Melbourne, but you lean Penrith. So we'll see. On Friday, we agree and we like the Warriors +2.5 first half against the Dogs, the full line being 4.5. And Dejan Azzi is in at 6 for the Warriors. Egan back to 9, as you said before, which reverts Lussick to the bench. Penne is out and that brings Curran to starting 13. Dogs will be without Tevita Pangai Jr., who remains in Australia for personal reasons. And can you give us some more reasons, Padonis, why we like the New Zealand Warriors?
Yeah, so the Warriors, if you just ask the general person in the street, then they probably see these two teams as trending in opposite directions. And they see the Dogs that's been recently playing well and above their ladder position, whereas everyone still sees the Warriors as that hot and cold team and anchored to the bottom of the 16 on the ladder position, where I do feel that situational spots do matter in the NRL. And we have seen the Dogs now having to travel to Bundaberg and then on the back of a five-day turnaround to go overseas to Auckland. It's going to be a tough place for them. And the Warriors are out of finals contention, or both teams are. So I think motivation matters for both teams. And if I do look at the Bulldogs as well, then I can definitely see them looking forward to the next two games, playing the Eels and Sharks that are similar Sydney teams, some of their previous rivals. So they can be forgiven for coming out here and being a bit flat, and maybe prioritising those high-profile matches and maybe causing spoiler to some of those teams for their finals runs. But I just can't split the sides that greatly. I had this line personally at 1.5. So I definitely feel like the Warriors are the right side to play when we're definitely getting over 4.
Yeah, and that's because of this monumental home advantage, because they are such a different team, New Zealand, in front of their home fans. We saw last week, they stood up, or last time they played at home, I should say, they stood up against the Melbourne Storm, and that's a higher level caliber opposition than what they're going to face. And this one, and I just go back forward pack, for Noah Blake, Tohu Harris, Curran, Aiken, Murchie's been in great form. That's going to keep them in this game. The Dogs are playing positive, you know, joyful footy for sure. But you go back to, like, you know, they won a couple of games by double digits. They were very weak opponents. Last week, I'm not going to put it all down to the Breeze, but it was 10-all first half when they had a massive breeze at their backs. They did end up losing by double digits when they ran into it. And my final point, this line's at 4.5 or 3.5 in places. I think it will go down because we believe New Zealand are the side. If it goes down through a key number and you miss out on a key number of 4 for the full game or 2 for the first half, well, a key number is worth more in 40 minutes than in 80 minutes. And that's the only reason why we've sided with a first half line as opposed to a full game line. I do like both. Moving to the later game Friday night, Eels, Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs are -5.5 point favourites at CommBank. Parramatta has no major changes in the side that came home strong at Four Pines Park last week. Hame Sele returns for the Rabbitohs. And as you said, but honest, we won best bets on both these sides last week. I'm happy to be on para for a lot of the same reasons. Though I will admit, I'm not thrilled to get out in front of South Sydney because they're in some serious form themselves.
They are. They're absolutely surging right now. And they do have the potential to leapfrog the Eels this week on the ladder. So it's going to be a big game for both teams. There's no denying that. And I do agree with the market that Souths are the better team. But the line for me is just a little bit too wide. And as I touched on at the top, I think that the Eels have been a bit too disrespected and maybe they're favouring Souths too much. And you heard Tristan say as well that he's got Souths power rated as his number one team, which we can talk about coming up. But I can make a case for South as well, that I could say that this game may be a bit more important for them, given that their last three games are a bit tougher and they are behind on the ladder. But I just think that given the Eels got that big win against Manly, they've had a full week to prep for this game. Brad Arthur's got to have his guys fired up. They don't want to make the same mistake again, because they did experience how they lost to South a few weeks ago, and they lost to Brisbane at home in front of their fans too. And let's not forget, when we talk about revenge, the last time these two teams played at Bankwest Stadium, or CommBank now, was in the 2020 final series, with South Sydney knocking out the Eels and they won by 18 points in that encounter. So I think South have won about 4 or 5 in a row against the Eels. So it's been a tough matchup for them, but I know it's going to be hard without Moses. But that's why the beauty of taking the +6, we don't need them to win. And it's a market-beating line as well, so we definitely have to play it.
And you go back to that recent encounter, and I've spoken about this a couple of times, but it was in pouring rain. Eels, you know, a dominant forward pack that likes to offload the ball. They couldn't do that, which is arguably their biggest strength, and their playmakers play off the back of that. In better conditions, that changes the game plan and could keep it closer. And I'm not afraid to take a side against someone that beat them recently, because I'm not sure it's an advantage. I think you've shown the opponent exactly how you beat them, and it gives you the team that suffered defeat a chance and extra motivation to overturn that. No doubt both sides are going to be very motivated, and I expect a really high quality game. And that's fine. If I think it's going to be a cracking game, and you're telling me I can get +6, then that's pretty easy for me to jump aboard for a best bet and involve it in the mixed matchup. So mixed matchup over and done with Friday night, because those are the two games we've got our biggest edge, our best bets in our opinion. So let's just take Warriors to score more points than Rabbitohs at $3.15. for a max stake of $100 on Top Sport. The max stake goes down to $100 when the price goes above $3. And it is a decent price here because we're like a converted try underdog in terms of the marketplace. But I mentioned before, when the Warriors were at home last time against Melbourne, they scored 3 tries and they butchered a couple more as well. And they're playing the Dogs. I think they can get 4 tries, and that'll give us a great shot this one, because we believe in Parramatta's defense. And you've heard the case why, because we've made them a best bet. So if you believe in them too, jump on with us. If you need a top of your account, use the code TRIPOD if you haven't already. Let's move to Saturday. But before we discuss this next game, let's do this special segment and let's ask the question that I put on social media today. I'll give you guys a reminder.
Here's a question for today. It's something we're going to discuss on tonight's pod. Who is the best team in the NRL right now, including injuries, including suspensions? Who would you want to back to win a game this weekend above all others? You could still say Penrith, but no Cleary, no Luai, no Fisher-Harris. Storm don't have Pappenhausen, as we know. Hughes also out this week. Eels in good form. No Moses. The Cowboys in great form. Are they the best team in the whole NRL? I haven't put the Sharkies up there. Is it Roosters? Is it Bunnies? Let me know.
So, Padonis, I'm going to put this to you in a different way, just to help everyone wrap their head around what the question is I'm asking before we tackle it. Let's say top of the English Super League, St. Helens right now, they're coming out this weekend to Australia, let's say, in this hypothetical. They're going to play an NRL team in Perth. You get $1 million if the NRL team wins. And you get to pick which NRL team we're going to send over there to play them. The only condition is the team will line up exactly the way they line up this round in round 22. So hence the ladder, it's basically irrelevant. It all comes down to your round 22 power ratings. Tristan, you mentioned Souths. He had him right up there. But Tristan actually sharing some fascinating insights that in-house at Top Sport, they don't keep necessarily weekly power ratings, but they have an overall power rating that's how good they think a team is at their best. And then they adjust downwards based on who is out. And they believe Cronulla Sharks are the best team in the competition right now. And I think that shows why this is such a good question, because I'm going to put your power ratings up on the screen, Padonis, and you have the Cronulla Sharks fifth. So please share your thoughts on that, as well as who you'd be sending over to Perth for $1 million.
The team that I'd be sending to Perth for $1 million would be the Cowboys right now at this point in time.
You're a Cowboys hater. Tell us why.
Well, look, for me, the Cowboys, I just feel that they have the best balance, 1 through 17, through their forward pack. They do have some strike out wide, as we know. They can't even get a guy like Hammer to start in their 17, and he was the backup for Billy Slater in the Queensland camp all year. And I just feel that with Ruben Cotter back as well, that gives him another edge. He was missing. Whereas I think some of those other teams, as you touch on, there's no denying that the Panthers are the clear number one team. But given the injuries and the suspensions that they're dealing with at the moment, that's why they're sitting in third. But it is still pretty tight and congested. Like, the Roosters are still missing some key forwards. So that's why they're not up there above the Cowboys. I've got them currently second. And Souths, for me, Souths rely probably a little bit too much on the form of Mitchell and Murray and Cook. And I just feel that their forward pack isn't as elite as those other guys. And they're still missing some of those game-breaking outside backs outside of Mitchell. I know how good Alex Johnson is as a try scorer, but I just feel that they're a little bit light in the centers, especially still missing Campbell Graham. And then with the Sharks, I know Tristan touched on it. He had them close to being their number one, but they're still missing Dale Finucan. Matt Moylan's out this week as well.
Finucan back this week. Finucan back, but Moylan and Kennedy still out.
Moylan and Kennedy. So that's two of their starting spine members. So if those guys played, then they're probably pushing second or third in my rankings at the moment, but it's pretty tight. And it goes to show that it is an open competition for that second spot outside of the Panthers. How did you see it, Jacob?
Yeah, well, with the Sharks, I mean, this is not a boxing championship belt. So yes, the Sharks beat the Bunnies 2 weeks ago, but it was Golden Point and it was in Cronulla. So if the Sharkies and the Bunnies were meeting this week, I would take the Bunnies. So that's why the Sharks, for me, they're not the best in the whole land. And I apologize because I've got a lot of comments on TikTok and a bunch of people did say Sharks. Some said Rabbitohs, some said Roosters, but I should have had the Sharks on my graphic. I cut corners, not putting their logo there. They deserve to be in the conversation. I mentioned why not Melbourne. I mentioned why not Para. And sorry, Padonis, we're not going to talk about Broncos. They're off 2 losses and they've got no Carrigan. So for me, it came down to 4 sides. Who's the best right now? The 4 that came to my mind, Penrith, still in the conversation. North Queensland, Rabbitohs and Roosters, who are probably in the hottest form, those sides. And the more I thought about it, I can't say Penrith are still the best in the competition without the starting halves, without Fisher-Harris, kick out questionable this weekend. So I was down to 3. And I really think it's debatable between those 3, Souths, Sydney Roosters, and North Queensland Cowboys. I don't think there's a correct answer, but I'd love to hear what everyone watching thinks. So let us know. What I think is most interesting, and I will share who I'd put top of the heap. The interesting part is that the Roosters and Cowboys play this weekend, and they're arguably the best 2 teams in the competition right now. According to your power rankings, they are. And for me, they are as well. And obviously, when we look at a game to handicap, the very first question we must establish in our minds is who's the better team and by how much. When I looked the Roosters and Cowboys up and down myself, I feel the Roosters are the slightly better team. So I actually will put the Roosters number one, best team in the comp, the eighth place Roosters right now. If I've got to send someone to Perth, I'm sending the Sydney Roosters. Can you believe it? And of course, we're betting against Souths this weekend. So I have them very close second, but I won't say Souths are the very best, but they're right there. Love to hear what other people think. I asked some other really knowledgeable guys from our group. I asked The Undertaker. And, you know, I gave nobody any props, just see what they'd say because, you know, as you hear, Tristan had Cronulla and you've got Cronulla fifth. But honest, I would have Cronulla outside my four options as well. Well, The Undertaker was exactly with you. He said Cowboys one, Roosters two, but it's ridiculously close. And Ben Williamson from Benny's Best Bet, again, could have picked anyone, but he and Tristan didn't even have the Cowboys in his top four. Well, Benny agrees with me. He said gives number one spot to the Chooks, with their edge being firepower, halves, and experience over the Cowboys. So I hope you guys enjoyed that bonus segment. Perfect segue, if you ask me, to roll into the game that, in the opinion of The Undertaker, BJ Willey, Podonis, and Winnie brings the two hottest sides in the competition together at the SCG, and the Cowboys are 3.5-point underdogs to the Roosters. The Roosters get back Butcher from suspension. Verrills will need to pass HIA. McLean is back for the visitors. He hasn't been cited since, sadly, injuring a hamstring in Blues camp, but that shows you the form he's been in this season and clearly will be a big inclusion. Cotter gets the start at prop. The Axe, who we heard pick the whole round before, has gone Cowboys for the outright win, so it's fair to say he's in your corner as well. Podonis, and I know you lean Cows in this game because you've already said that you think the Cowboys are clearly the better side, not by a big margin, but clearly the better side in your mind. So would you bet them at +3.5?
+3.5, I probably wouldn't bet them. I think I'd need a four to be able to pull the trigger on it. It's a game that I was going through up and down like yourself. I definitely feel that these two are the two best teams right now, given Penrith's struggles and injuries. And it's the game of the round for sure. It's not nicely poised. Two teams that are power rated as my one and two, and I'd give the edge to the Roosters in their back line, but I'd give the edge to the Cows forwards. And ultimately, this game will be decided by one or two key moments, and it can fall on either way. And whoever takes advantage of those moments will probably end up winning. And how you would go about placing a bet for everyone out there listening is that if you think the Roosters are the better team, then the 3.5 is a bet for you. But if you agree the Cowboys are the slightly stronger team, then you would lean Cows. But I just think that this line's pretty much spot on from the bookmakers accounting for home field. And I do think that with the Roosters as well, sitting where they are on the ladder and a little bit lower, the game might mean a bit more for them just to grab that win. And they're coming off a longer turnaround as well. So I do like the fact that they've had to go from a Thursday to a Friday, now to another Friday game. Whereas if I was looking at these two sides later in the year in the finals game, then I probably would take the 3.5. But right now, around 2022, for the way the Roosters are building, I just have to stay out of the game. But it's going to be a cracking contest, and both teams are going to definitely be up for it because I think that the Cows want to still stay in that top two spot to grab that home final. But it's going to be just a fantastic spectacle, and make sure you keep your schedules free.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that often that you get like a blockbuster game in the afternoon spots. It's exciting. To tidy up one thing you said, Roosters have gone Thursday, Thursday, Saturday, and you compare that to their opponent that's coming off a Sunday. So Roosters played last Thursday, Cowboys' shortest turnaround off the Sunday. That's a factor for me, as well as home advantage. I don't know how many games the Roosters have left at the SCG, if any. I feel like that could be a hidden factor. I should check up on that. I don't know if you can look it up, Podonis, and let us know, because their final regular season game is going to be at the opening of the new Allianz, I believe. So there wouldn't be many more, you know, games at this historic venue. But that aside, yeah, I think that the game breakers you talk about, the game might be decided by one moment. And I still think that the premium talent, the match winners, you know, are the Tedescos, the Manus, and Suali that I said last week too. So I wouldn't get out in front of this Rooster side. And, you know, you're saying you think the Cowboys are the better team. But when I asked you, would you bet +3.5? You said no. So let's explain. That's because you haven't factored in home advantage when you've just done your initial raw power ratings. You haven't factored in turnaround. And also, you don't want to bet something at a, where you've got to risk 10 to win 9 unless you think there's a clear edge. So it's, that's a good, you know, lesson for people just in approach. It's not as simple as who's the better team. That's not all we look at. We try and go beneath the surface level and try and find value. And the bookies have probably got this one about right. It should be a beauty of a game. Can't wait to watch it. Later Saturday, the Tigers play the Sharks, and the Sharks are 13.5-point favourites. Mount Marlowe out for the Tigers. Roberts is in at centre and shifts Toa to the wing. Lockie Miller will take Tracy's wing spot. Bucks for Nukin back, as I said before, from that suspension. And the best team in the world right now, according to Top Sport, is the Cronulla Sharks. Would you lay the line with them, Badonis?
I wouldn't lay the line, but I do lean towards the Sharks as well. I just feel that the line's a bit higher. For me, I'd have this line around 11.5. That's what I'd need to lay it, because we've seen the Tigers were definitely flat last week. And whilst they don't have the class of these top teams, they can compete physically with them on their day. But I do think that they've struggled without Hastings in the middle there last week. And I think he really does help to shape their attack. And they did look pretty predictable. And that was a Knights side that were defending him. But the Sharks, to me, are just looking a little bit different class. And they're a team that have shown patches of dominance. But ultimately, I think that they let themselves down a bit too much with poor errors or lapsing concentration for a period in games. I don't think they've put together a complete 80-minute performance yet. And this has led to a few games where they have failed to cover against some lesser teams. And now without Moylan, that's definitely a number for me that's a little bit too high. I do love the fact that they have an ability to defend those errors that they do make. And it could cost them against one of the top teams later in the season if they don't sort that out in their game. But they should have no problem taking care of the Tigers. And I've got no doubt the Sharks will be winning this game outright. But yeah, I just can't get there on the number. And the Tigers have been a tricky side to catch recently.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, we probably should be just playing Cronulla because we're both saying, like, we have no doubt they're going to win this one. It's pretty safe leg for it, you know, head-to-head in your multis, for sure. I'm not sniffing an upset in this one because top two is still on the line. You mentioned that with North Queensland. If North Queensland slip up, maybe they do the game before. Then Cronulla can flip our first week of the finals trip to North Queensland and flip that into a game at Cronulla, which would be massive for them. And the Dragons kind of junked it up last weekend at the Prison, which made the game tighter and was our only losing best bet last week, in fact, when we took Cronulla, while the week before, the Tigers were our only losing best bet, and that was when we didn't believe in them at all and they played against Brisbane. Then the Tigers came home and couldn't even beat Newcastle. And that's the thing I say about these bottom or lowly sides. They're inconsistent. So to your point, how do we know what we're going to get out of West? It's really hard to know. But I do feel like if you play the Sharks, you're going to be paying a premium because everybody's going to pretty much side with the Sharks in this one, especially after watching West, as I said, couldn't even beat the Knights on Sunday arvo. So who would be taking them in this one? And if everyone's on something, you're probably not getting a great deal of line value. So we'll move on to another game where everyone's probably on one side. That's Brisbane hosting the Knights, and the Knights are plus 18.5-point underdog. Tamari Martin returned from injury via the Queensland Cup last week, now gets the one jersey. Franco Lee also back, with the Broncos choosing experience over youth at the expense of Mariner. The Knights lost Clifford to a broken arm, and Barnett also got an injury last week. Clune is back at 7, and Clemmer is also back for the Novocastrians. He starts at prop. Brisbane was a chance of making the top four just a couple of weeks ago, but now they're fighting probably to have any chance of any type of home final in the bottom half of the eight. They have got a pretty good chance to get back on track and snap a two-game losing streak this week, though, Badonis.
Yeah, that's for sure. The Broncos were looking like potentially getting a top four berth when they beat Para 2 weeks ago, but now they've dropped two games on the bounce after that crushing win. And it is a great way for them to get back on track against the Knights, and they're the biggest favourite of the round. I did like them last week against the Roosters, and we did have them as a best bet in round 20 when they were our only losing best bet when they lost to the Tigers. So I have been perhaps a little bit guilty of maybe overvaluing their form at the moment. But this week, they're playing another cellar dweller, and I think the line's justified, but I just can't find strong enough reasons to bet on the Broncos again for a third week straight. I do think Tamari Martin's an upgrade on Tessie New, but they're still without Carrigan. He's probably a bigger loss than I first anticipated also. And I think a case of when we spoke about the Storm a few weeks ago, they're just going to be looking just to get the win and get back on track. I don't think they're going to be too worried about the scoreboard. And the Knights did get a confidence-boosting win of their own last week. And for all the talk about how poor O'Brien has been and that side around him, I do think that the Knights showed that they are still together as a squad, because there was some talk that maybe there were some fractures in that camp. But that win, I think, dispelled those. And I just can't lay minus 19.
Yeah, I could only play Brisbane. And I know that last time they played at home on a Saturday night, they were an 18.5-point favourite as well, and they lost. But to me, that's all the more reason why it won't happen again and why they definitely won't take this game for granted. I agree, Martin adds that ball playing that is going to be a threat to the Knights, who I just can't see keeping with Brisbane. Like, Newcastle has two wins in the last 2 months. So you're saying, like, oh, the win last week, you know, it proved that they're still together. Well, who they played, like, the only reason they've won two games is because they played West and Gold Coast, the two lowest sides on the ladder. You could argue that if Newcastle didn't luckily, you know, run into those teams, they might not have won any games in the last 2 months. So I don't want Newcastle. But my other issue with this match is, like, the look ahead line, you could get minus 15.5. I'm pretty sure that's what The Undertaker shared in our group a week ago. So shout out to him when he finds great lines like that in our group. But, you know, like, you could have laid minus 15.5 last week, and maybe the Knights were a complete basket case, and then the Knights actually show a sign of life. But you come to this week and you still got to lay 18.5, and that's after Brisbane lost convincingly. So on that principle, when the line's already moved through some key numbers, I'd have to really love it to still lay it. I don't, so we'll pass. Sunday, the Raiders host the Dragons at GIO, Dragons plus 5.5. Tapane out with a rib injury. Kotrick suspended, which shifts Hopuate, who last week played fullback, well, now he'll play on the wing because Savage is back in. For the Dragons, Sims has copped a ban for the rest of the season. Maguire starts. Ramsey is in the reserves, so could return, but if not, Mbai is getting some valuable experience at fullback for the future. The other headline, of course, for this game, which the Axe alluded to, is that, not to mention it's do or die for the Raiders, let's say that first, they have to win their final four games, I believe, to have a chance to make the finals. And it will be without their coach this week, suspended. He can't even have contact with the side for 7 days. So let's start there, put on a site. We spoke about power ratings in this episode, gave some great insights. Do you adjust a team up, down, or not at all when their coach is out?
Yeah, I've adjusted Canberra down from last week. I've adjusted them down 2 points at this stage, but that also factors in last week's result. But yeah, you touched
on... And Tapane's a big out.
And Tapane's big out as well, yeah. But we did touch on the fact that Stewart is out. And I'm glad you mentioned that he's out for the week, because it's not just a game. He can't train. He can't coach a side. He can't be involved in training sessions. He can't talk to players. And on top of that, he is banned from the game attending on Sunday. So I think we're entering uncharted waters from the NRL perspective and as handicappers also, because we need to try and assess how we feel that this affects the team's psyche and preparation going into the week. And I know that we talked about it on the recap on Sunday night, but one thing that I'm still struggling with is that how last week's loss against the Panthers is going to impact Canberra for the rest of the season. Because yes, they can definitely win all four games. They're going to be favored in all four games and they can potentially make the final still. But we spoke about how that game against the Panthers, if they looked at that a few weeks ago, they wouldn't have expected to win that. And it would have been a bit of a free roll for him. But I think given the circumstances with Luai, Cleary, and Kikau even pulling out on game day, and that game closing almost pick him, part of me feels that losing the way that they did in that manner might have the opposite effect. Because what chance do you have in this premiership race moving forward if you can't even get close to beating the Panthers at your own home ground on a must-win occasion? So that, for me, is a little bit some doubt over Canberra. Because if you look at this line, and you see minus 5.5 on face value, it does look appealing for some people because one team's playing for something, whereas the Dragons are officially or almost out, and Canberra at home. So it does look skinny, but that'd be my one hesitation betting on Canberra. And I do think the Dragons have showed enough in that second half against the Sharks to show that they're not going to be throwing in the towel for the rest of the year. And there'll still be some determined and toughness about them. and you do have to match their intensity. Otherwise, they're going to beat you on their day. So for that reason, I would take the points with the Dragons. And if I could get over six, I'd probably take it. But at that price at the moment, it's a pass for me entirely.
And I disagree too. And I'll tell you why, because I've thought about this a lot. So if the Raiders lose on Sunday, that would be so brutal. It would end their season effectively. And you're a home favourite. And obviously then the storyline out of the game is going to be that what Stewart did, Stewart's outburst had cost them their season, because people will say, well, clearly the disruption of the week, you know, with them being a favourite, if they lose, it's because Stewart wasn't there at all for the week and at the game, as you said. But the Raiders are well aware of this, and I believe that the team supports Ricky and has his back, and I actually think the Raiders will play inspired, being in the headlines for the wrong reasons this week, and they will come out and fight to do anything they can to keep their season alive, to keep the heat off Ricky, to allow him to rejoin a side that is still in the hunt and can still win their final three games, which they can. You know, you might think it's unrealistic if you've got to win your final four, but it's not when you're playing all sides below you on the ladder. So that's what I'm expecting out of Canberra. What will St. George dish up? I don't know. Like, we didn't really know last week. They fought harder in the second half than we expected, and it cost us. But the other thing is, I really thought Penrith would be up last week, so I'm not going to dismiss the Raiders' performance, because I think a lot of it was about how good Penrith was. And I look at Canberra in general, the Fogarty-Whiten combination is always developing. That's why I lean the Raiders. In fact, this would have been my closest game to actually wanting to bet on as well if you didn't lean the other way. So I'm open to a side bet. You can let me know. But final game of the round, Titans host the Seagulls. And on the screen, you're seeing Manly minus a heavily juiced 5.5. But on the other side of the coin, if you like the Titans, you can get plus 6.5 with the home side. But without Booth, who's out for the season, Clark back to hooker, Boyd remains at halfback, Sexton is in the reserves. Herbert also back, so Marzu reverts to the bench. Manly lost Paseka, but Sipley's going to start, and Oshay Ole is back for them as well on the bench. And Foran, who had a scare last week with a hamstring injury, it's must have been minor because he is named to start for Manly in the halves. And maybe this is a sick thing to say, but wouldn't it just be typical Titans if Kieran Foran played in this game and got an injury? I hope not, of course. But, you know, speaking of hopes, Manly's were pretty much dashed last week, not mathematically, but realistically, with that home loss to the Eels on top of a home loss to the Roosters. What are the Titans playing for? Well, they're hoping to avoid the spoon. And don't they have a chance in this game? When you play teams, you know, everyone's above you on the ladder, but sometimes teams come in a bit disappointed, you get some surprise results. Could you see the Titans pulling the outright upset here, Padonis?
I could see them pulling the outright upset, and I would favour the Titans. But just before we touch on the game, just to talk more holistically about the Titans and Holbrook's strategy, I just can't understand why you let Jamal Fogarty leave his contract early in order to make room for Jaden Campbell, in order to blood Sexton and Brimson as your halves pairing for the future. And then, sure, they struggle throughout the year. Then they sign Kieran Foran for next year, and then your best half in Sexton has been dropped now for the second consecutive week. I just don't understand what they're trying to do. It's definitely not building for the future, because Tanner Boyd's not going to be the halfback next year. It just boggles my mind still that they're at this stage of the season, they're still trying to sort out some of these same issues. But I couldn't bet on Manly because it's the same line that Canberra were laying here 2 weeks ago. And at that stage, Canberra had a lot more to play for than Manly. And I think that Canberra are a stronger team than the Seagulls. So for that reason, I just couldn't bet Manly now, knowing that how they're going to react on that off the back of that second half against the Eels that essentially ended their season. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do respond. But yeah, I would love to get 8.5 maybe on the Titans, and maybe it gets there by game day, because there's been a bit of support for Manly, because the number does look a bit skinny to the casual punter, because everyone's been seeing the Titans lose. And if they continue to lose, then the lines are going to be inflated. But the Titans are a side that on their day can win. They're in front of their home crowd again. So I would lean the Titans, but at the current number, it's a pass at the moment.
I also lean to the Gold Coast. No one wants the spoon. Obviously, and at home, you think that they come out, you know, fighting. I'll say it again. This side came eighth last season, lost like how many players? You mentioned Fogarty. They didn't lose that much. this year. They've had the least major injuries of any team in the comp, and they're coming last. So it's a bit of an indictment on them and this season. But, of course, this week they did get a major injury. Booth, that hurts because he was actually a bit of a bright spark and looking like a decent solution there at hooker. Now, long term, the news I just read today is that Verrills has signed for 2023, but that doesn't help this week. The Titans could absolutely win it in my eyes, for sure. But if you're going to back them plus 6.5, you've got to trust that they're going to be up for this. Will Manly be flat? I did say in the recap that don't just dismiss Manly losing as, oh, it shows the team's not all together because of the jersey gate. Give Parramatta a big amount of credit for earning that win last week. And I think Manly may still have this point to prove that they are a united footy team, and that might actually be their motivation. And it's not about you make the finals or you don't, but it's about proving that you are a squad that's going to stick together. And if Manly produces kind of close to what they're capable of, then the Titans won't be able to stop them. That's why I'd also probably lean overs in this game. But we don't have a best bet. But speaking of, you know, scoring tries, this is the jersey giveaway game. So please comment who you think will score the last try in this game and the minute you reckon they'll score as the tiebreaker on Facebook and YouTube. Winning Mood is on live tonight at 7:30 with last year's Supercoach champion, and you get a chance to guess in there as well. So you get more entries, more chances to join a bunch of lucky people that have scored some brand new NRL jerseys this season. One other thing, our recap show, which we usually always do straight on the back of the final game of the round, it's going to be Monday. It's not going to be Sunday night. It's going to be Monday. We can't do Sunday. We will tell you why if you tune into the recap. But we hope you've enjoyed our preview. Please comment your thoughts, as always, which bets you agree or don't agree, or what you should be backing yourself, as well as your try score guesses. Good luck this week and have a great one. Always gamble responsibly. And Lego.